2016 is the centennial of the National Park Service. To celebrate, National Geographic magazine is taking a year-long look at the power of the parks. In their January issue, writer Florence Williams took a look at the science behind the benefits of being in nature.
She joins us now to share what she found out. Florence Williams is a contributing writer for National Geographic magazine and the author of the article, This Is Your Brain on Nature, from that January issue. Florence, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into the effect that nature has on the brain, I think a big concern these days is, what's the impact of not being out in nature, not having access to green space?
Well, there are some experts who posit that we have a syndrome called nature deficit disorder. So it's a little bit controversial whether that really exists, but some people argue that when we're away from nature, we get more anxious, we might be feeling more depressed, we might be feeling more lonely because we're inside. We have a number of diseases associated with modern life that are also associated with being indoors, a sort of indooritis.
So that's a notion I think a lot of people have had, that it's good to get outside. Parents for years have been fighting that battle with kids, I think. But you write that there's been actual research and experimentation trying to put a number on that, in effect, to try to find some data that shows what happens. What have we learned?
Yeah, that's right. For years, psychologists have been, you know, asking people sort of to fill out questionnaires saying, well, how do you feel when you're outside? How do you feel when you're inside? And they've noticed that people generally report a large boost in mood. They have fewer negative thoughts when they're outside. But it's only been recently, really in the last 5 to 10 years, that scientists have been able to kind of physiologically measure these changes. So they're measuring heart rates, they're measuring blood pressure, they're measuring stress hormones like cortisol. And they're even actually imaging the brain with portable MRI, which is a kind of way to look at the brain, EEG, which looks at brain waves. These are actually things that now we can do in the field. So we're seeing some really new things.
So we're out hiking, and then there's the researcher carrying that MRI along with us on the trail?
That's right. That's right. They're doing that. In fact, I went camping in Utah for the story, and I put on this kind of bathing cap with a number of electrodes, and it measured what different parts of my brain, you know, were doing in terms of brain waves. And the theory of this researcher David Strayer at the University of Utah is that when we're in nature, our frontal lobes, which is the parts of our brain that do a lot of thinking and tasks and checking our to-do box, a lot of that happens in our frontal cortex. He thinks that that frontal cortex kind of takes a little break. It relaxes and kind of turns off, shuts down a little bit. And when that happens, you see some really interesting things going on in your brain. For example, more blood flow to the parts of the brain that are involved with daydreaming or empathy, kindness towards others. And in fact, this holds up in the research. It really looks like when we're outside, we tend to think more about our communities, more about our relationships, and less just about sort of our own negative thoughts.
And that changes our notion of how our brains work from an idea that, hey, they're just our brains, they're always thinking, they have, in effect, infinite capacity until we need to sleep to keep doing stuff. According to this theory, no, the brain needs to step away, shut down a bit, and relax in nature a little bit, it sounds like.
That's right. Your brain is like a muscle in some ways. It needs to rest. And when it doesn't, we get stressed out, we get exhausted. I think we all know that feeling when we're hard at work. We have a million emails coming at us, maybe we're in traffic. You know, we can do these things, and we can do them well for a while, but then what happens is we start getting really tired. We get irritated. We get grumpy. We get stressed out, and we don't even really realize it, or we don't know why.
Talking to Florence Williams from National Geographic about the impact of nature on our brains, mostly good is the short version. But Florence, how much does it take? I mean, is it, you know, a week camping in a national park? Can it be a stroll in a green space? Can it be looking at a spider plant in the office? How much green do we need to make a difference here?
Well, some people are starting to look at nature almost as a medicine. And so when you do that, like a lot of medicines, there's a dose curve. So it looks like the more time in nature, the better. You know, if you can get out for 3 or 4 days of backpacking, it can really do wonders for your sense of self, for your life plans, maybe recovering from grief. You know, there are these sort of profound changes that you can enable by being in the wilderness for many days. But the good news is you can actually get small positive effects from even a 5-minute dose of nature. even looking out your window at a nice view and taking a break from your computer, even a 40-second break can make you temporarily more creative and can boost your mood. And the country of Finland, for example, is now recommending that people get out for at least 5 hours a month into a natural area or a park or a forest. And that's not too bad. You know, that's a little over an hour a week of strolling through the woods. And they think that that's enough to really ward off depression.
And Finland's not alone. You say this idea is becoming public policy in a lot of places, including South Korea has a really interesting, innovative approach to this. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's right. South Korea, like many parts of the world, has a lot of stressed-out workers, people who work too hard, spend a lot of time in offices, a lot of time in computers. And the government is concerned about this and looking for ways to kind of reduce stress. And so the Forest Service there has initiated this neat program of 37 healing forests. And those encompass trails on mountains and in forests and 500 rangers who specialize in programs to help reduce stress or to help heal people with cancer, to kind of prevent depression in prenatal women. There are even bullying in schools. So there are all these programs that the country is really putting into place, and they're free programs largely for everyone to use.
And maybe virtual nature could help. You wrote about a program at a prison somewhere in the United States, I think, that was trying nature videos for prisoners in solitary confinement. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's true. There's a prison, Snake River Correction Institution, and it's an interesting place where inmates are in solitary confinement. It's a pretty stressful environment. And in one wing of the prison, researchers have put into place these videos of nature in the exercise room. And in another part of the prison, they just have kind of a normal, you know, very bland exercise room. And the reports that we're getting out of there is that it's a lot quieter and calmer, and the inmates just seem sort of less violent, less reactive if they're working out in this room where they're showing beautiful pictures of, you know, there are a number of ones you can choose from. There are sort of underwater videos of fish or their forests, and apparently the inmates just really love being in there.
And this is a noisy place usually, but inmates are saying, hey, quiet down, I'm watching my nature video now.
That's right. And sometimes they're going in there if they're feeling like they need to calm down.
So, Florence, you're a writer for National Geographic. If I may stereotype, I would assume you're someone who likes to get out in nature. But having looked into this issue, having done this research, has this made little nature time more of a priority in your daily life?
You know, it really has. I live in a big city. I live in Washington, D.C. It's not always so easy to get outside into a natural area. It's a, you know, noisy place with lots of asphalt, lots of traffic. But I really do make an effort now. Fortunately, there are a lot of parks here. And, you know, most American cities do have terrific parks. Sometimes it takes a little bit of an effort to get out and use them. But I highly recommend it.
And a timely question, does getting out in a park that's covered in snow have the same impact for you as a park that's looking green?
You know, there has been a little bit of research in this, and even when it's cold and nasty outside, it does seem to be good for our brains to get out, get some fresh air, you know, get away from, you know, our electronic devices and our to-do lists. People who go for walks, even on rainy, windy days, come back, and their productivity and their creativity increase when they get back.
Well, Florence, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thanks so much. I've enjoyed it, Rob.
That's Florence Williams, contributing writer for National Geographic Magazine, author of the piece This Is Your Brain on Nature in their January issue. She joined us to talk about how nature can help our often overstressed brains.